This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Couple of other spots from the A.J. Brown interview I want to get to a little bit later. We are talking about the Sixers and the horrible state they're in. Whose fault it is? Is it Maury's fault? Is it Embiid's fault? Is it nobody's fault? I don't know if anybody's going to go for
nobody's
somebody's
fault.
Yeah, it's always somebody's fault.
It's somebody's fault.
215-592-9494. We'll get to the High Hopes Jackie baseball report momentarily. Ken and Cinnaminson, you're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
What up, Ken?
You know, Mad Mike had like a Grinch moment there a little while back. His heart was growing like 10 times the size. I was being moved, and then he opened his mouth again, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, his heart wasn't in it, though. You could tell, even when he was being Mad Mike, you could tell he was defeated. That's a good reference there. It was a little, you could tell he was a little happy the Eagles had won the Super Bowl, and a little sad that he couldn't celebrate
like everybody
else. He couldn't
fully enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah, because of who he was. I heard it in there.
He painted himself into this corner.
Yep.
Got to own it.
Yep.
Being mad at Joel Embiid is, you know, kind of pointless. First of all, if somebody offers me $190 million for sitting around doing nothing, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to ask them if they need to have their head examined. I'm just going to take it. if he doesn't need knee surgery, he needs a heart transplant. And that's been his problem all along. And when I was in high school, I used to drain my own knee so nobody would see it, so that nobody would say, hey, you can't get on the field and play. I lied my way back onto the field through concussions, which could explain some things at this point in my life. but it was just all about, I just wanted to play, I wasn't getting paid for it. It wasn't going anywhere. It's just, you're playing for the joy of playing. And, this is kind of the NBA that Adam Silver wanted. Like, the stars kind of, dictate what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, how they're going to do it. And if you're looking for somebody to blame, my father raised all of his sons with the motto that a man is as he does, not as he says. This has been Joel Embiid since he got here. Like he's not changed at all. He's no different. This was the guy he was when he got here. The Sixers indulged it when he was hurt his rookie season and he didn't take his rehab seriously. So he missed the entire next season and the Sixers didn't do anything about it. So if you're looking for somebody to blame, if you spent money on 76ers tickets, you need to look in the mirror and blame yourself. If you expected any different outcome from what the outcome has always been since Joel Embiid got here, and not just Joel Embiid, but the ownership, the front office, all of it. If you expected any different outcome than what we've got, then that's on you. And
Well, that's on me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Ken, a lot of us. Yeah, but Ken, wouldn't you say that a person when they're 20 years old and a person when they're 28 years old, like the idea that somebody could evolve and grow and become more serious about something, I don't think that is... People draft players all the time. Jalen Carter was drafted as a player who didn't take...
Had question marks.
Some of the greatest players in the history... some of the greatest players in the history of the game were drafted with question marks about their mentality. And the only, I agree with you on the NBA thing as a whole. The only other thing I'd push back on is I don't think his willingness to play hurt could ever be questioned. The guy went out there hurt a lot and came back from a lot of injuries that I think a lot of people, from the three knee injuries, his face broken twice, even playing with Bell's palsy last year, like he played with injuries. I think the criticism of him is that he didn't do all he could from a physical standpoint to make sure that he's healthy. But
it all goes together, Spike, right? So, I mean, young people can grow. And when you draft guys that are 20 years old, that's part of what you hope is that they're going to become grown men and they're going to grow, right? I don't mean physically grow, but they're going to grow emotionally. And mentally.
You know?
There's you've got to be wired a certain way, and the one thing that's been evident from Joel Embiid since day one, he's not wired the way Jalen Carter's wired. He's certainly not wired the way Jalen Hurts is wired. So if you don't have a burning desire, like the thing that it might be semantic, but the thing that I will always push back on is I will never refer to Joel Embiid as great. I will refer to him as exceptionally talented, exceptionally gifted, a highly skilled player, but greatness is about what you bring out of the other people around you. And, there's not going to be any point in his career where people are going to look back and say, look at the greatness that he brought to the court that made everybody around him better. That's what separates the great ones from the skilled guys that can just, stuff stat sheets. And that ultimately is going to be Joel Embiid's legacy, is he's going to go down in the NBA as a highly skilled stat sheet stuffer. Try saying that three times fast. But he's never going to be somebody who's going to be looked at as somebody who elevated everybody around him to a level of greatness like a Kobe, like a Jordan, like any of those guys.
Who did Kobe make better around him?
Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom. He didn't win two titles without Shaq. Went to three straight finals.
So to me, Spike...
Don't disrespect the Mamba.
Sorry, I should have done that. Thanks for the call, Ken. A lot of players were better when they played with Embiid than playing with Joel Embiid got a lot of players paid. J.J. Redick had the best years of his career playing with Joel Embiid. Tyrese Maxey's always better when he's playing with Joel Embiid. I agree with Ken to an extent. I don't agree with Ken
completely.
All the way.
Yeah.
I think there is truth to what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I think for you to say, hey, he was this way at 20, so you should expect him to be that way all the way up until 30, I don't think that's fair either. A lot of times teams draft players that have question marks, whether it's physical or mental or whatever it is, and think, you know what? There's enough there that it's worth the chance.
Yeah,
you know?
The biggest thing for me with him, and Ken did make some great points, it's the individual talent of Joel Embiid is what sticks out more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you know individually how great or how exceptional he
was, whatever word
you want to use to describe him. He was that as an individual. The one thing, I don't know if you can hold injuries against him. That's just, it's unfortunate, right? I know people get on him about the weight and this and that and the other, but he's a big man. He's always been a big man. He's not built like Giannis is built, right, where you're 7 feet tall and you're just 230 pounds, 240 pounds. He's always been you always knew he was going to be 275 to 300. That's just where his body size is. His lower body is just heavy that way. But there is a skill and a feathery touch that he possessed that you just didn't see from someone his size. The gracefulness that he could move with at times, the skill level that he could show that was Hakeem Olajuwon-like to me, that is unmatched. But not being healthy and not having the postseason moments are the two things for me.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me, not having that time in the postseason where you just went through and down. Even Giannis did it 1 year.
1 year.
And to even, where he got a title.
And even you talk about physically, Giannis has been injured in the playoffs for every year since he won the title.
Yes.
They haven't gone anywhere because he's either playing and injured or not playing at all. I think, I agree with that.
It's just the postseason thing for me.
To me, the series that we'll always look back on, they were up 3-2 on the Celtics,
yep.
And he showed nothing in Game 6 and Game 7. And I laid it on Harden, and Harden did disappear, but if Harden wasn't the guy, you are the guy. And the hardest thing to pair Embiid up with another star is that guys like Harden and Paul George, they're great if the guy leading you is an MF-er and isn't like Joel Embiid, you know?
It's funny you bring that series up, because that's the series, for me, if I'm being honest with myself, it's the last time I died on the hill for him. Like, Jack could tell you that. When after that game 6, they lost that. I mean, we were over at Chickies and Pete's in Marlton. I remember doing the show on a Friday. Yeah, I guess game 6 was that Thursday, and game 7 was going to be that Sunday.
Is that Sunday, yeah.
Yeah. And, boy, people were so mad after that game 6. They were so mad after the way it ended the last 5 minutes. I'm blaming everybody. I'm blaming Doc, right? You know, blaming Harden for not getting Embiid the ball down the stretch late. All of that. And then the way they came out in game 7. Man, that really was where I was like, man, I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I just don't think. Even though I didn't want to believe it, it was like that was the last hope for me. That was the MVP year, right? That
was
the MVP year. Yeah, that was the year when we came in here 3-2. Boy, my chest was out so proud because they won that game 5 in Boston, man. I'm like, dude, we about to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They going to the NBA Finals. And that game 6 and 7 happened, man. That's why I think that's where I lost my undying sort of belief in him and in the process, per se, that it would get done.
The guy who's not letting it happen and the guy who's the best player in Game 7 can't be P.J. Tucker.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
It can't be P.J. Tucker if you're going to win a championship. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Which member of the Sixers are you most frustrated with? Embiid at 38%. Josh Harris moving into second place with 32.4%.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
And Daryl. I got the Daryl number down to 29.7.
Wow.
Daryl Morey at 29.7.
How is that possible?
How is that possible?
There we go. What would you have done? I'd have done the same thing.
Who cares? Yeah. Done the same thing. Noted basketball GM Spike Eskin would have done the same thing.
There you go. Well, I'm just like Elliot, you know? You're basically a GM here in the media. All right, the Phils are in Clearwater. We're going to be there next week. Let's talk a little Phils.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Kev Jackie Baseball.
God, Sixers stuff sucks, man. We got Phils Baseball. I mean, it was back this weekend on the radio on Saturday. Hearing Fransky crack the mic again, it was getting a little emotional. It's getting a little emotional here in Fransky.
Sure you were.
Yeah, it was like, from Publix Field in Lakeland, Florida.
Man. Is that what it's called now?
Well, no, that's where the Tigers play.
Oh, okay.
The Tigers play at Publix Field in Lakeland, Florida. So
that's the place where I went to the women's bathroom accidentally.
Oh!
When I went with my wife.
A classic story.
It was Lakeland. Yep.
Yeah. Who could forget?
It was Lakeland.
Who could forget? So Max Kepler got a hit.
I saw. Changed his swing, I heard.
Yeah, he's got a new swing.
Good.
Well, best shape of the live season. Rob Thompson.
Man, move through this fast.
Rob
man.
Thompson said he's proud of Taiwan Walker.
I heard him say that.
They are doing a damn good solid job of Taiwan.
I was going to say, are we trying to trade him?
Yes.
Rob okay. Thompson. Rob Thompson said that he looked better than his 15-win season. And he said, I'm so – but look, if Rob Thompson's not going to win manager of the year, he could get an Oscar. He goes – I'm so proud of that guy.
Yep. That's why people run through a brick wall for Rob Thompson. He is fired up. We might have saw a little preview of the opening day lineup today.
At least
the top of it.
Who was it?
So Trey Turner is the leadoff spot.
All right, that's what we heard.
That's been telegraphed. Yep. It seems like he's going to get the lion's share of that.
All right, good.
Noted two-hole, Kyle Schwarber.
What are we doing?
Three, Bryce Harper. Four, Alec Boehm. Thoughts?
What are we doing?
Come on, man.
Kyle Schwarber's a two-hole man.
Yeah. You don't think it's a good idea?
Come on, Bryce.
Hold on. Why do all these reports come out about other guys moving around in the lineup, man, and only one person has moved?
Well, Bryce said he's a three-hole hitter.
And Kyle Schwarber said that, hey, he's just player number 12. He'll be wherever you want him to hit.
Except the four-hole.
Again. Bryce needs to play. Just hit second, please.
He's got to hit second.
Just hit second. We don't need to hit lefty sitting back to back. Kyle Schwarber doesn't need to be in the two hole.
Oh, yeah. How about that? So you think so? You don't believe that's how it's going to stay, right?
Well, that's my. I wonder if Bryce is saying, I'm not hitting second.
Well, of course that's what he's saying.
Okay, well, then that might be it. You're getting Kyle Schwarber in the two spot. That's frustrating. He should be bad.
Why not move Boehm up to the two?
Yeah, he could.
And just put. Because Schwarber doesn't want to hit four.
Maybe.
Dude, are these guys going to...
I swear to his team, man.
Vibes. Wait till Stubby's back, too. Wait till Stubby's back.
Who's managing the team, man?
Do you guys... No, truly, do you guys want to win?
Right.
Or do you want to hit a lineup where you want to hit? Grow up. No, I'm serious, man.
Seriously, man.
I'll let go of the Bryce should be willing to play the outfield if they can get a good first baseman, even though he should. But... The batting line, the lineup thing, Bryce is better for the team in the two spot. He's mm-hmm. a better hitter than Kyle Schwarber. He'll get on base more. He can move better on the bases.
There's no point to Schwarber batting second.
No. And it protects Trey Turner, I think, better. I think it gives Trey Turner a better opportunity to see some pitches with Bryce Harper hitting second. Oh, come on, man.
Okay.
Kyle Schwarber hitting second. That's dumber than him hitting leadoff.
Why does it? You got to explain this to me, Fritz.
Okay.
Or I'll find out when we get down there next week.
This sounds like a threat.
Just saying. Why doesn't he want to hit second?
Well, so I think he likes seeing, he likes seeing the pitcher for a couple of bats in front of him. So he gets an idea of what they're doing.
Okay.
So he gets to see two batters.
It's only one inning that he doesn't get to see.
I know.
It's one at bat.
One at bat is what I meant. Yeah, it's only one at bat that is that way.
And for as fun as the lineup discussion is, like we've got a little crazy. It's the first inning. You know what I mean? Like there's
that's what I'm saying. There's first inning.
It would make so much more sense if he just hit second and putting Schwarber and two lefties back to back. I know Schwarber was good against lefties last year. We don't need to put them back to back. We don't need to do that. Now, he has a good chance of getting on base, so I guess the thought process is Turner and then Schwarber can get on base for Bryce and yada, yada, yada. But no. So hopefully that's not the case, and hopefully maybe it's convincing next week we can get Bryce up to two in the spot.
There you go, Spike. Our 15 home run cleanup hitter is back.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah.
Well, and also last thing on Bryce hitting second, and this is very – the higher up you hit in the lineup, the more at-bats you get.
Yeah.
I want our best hitter – to get the most at-bats possible.
Yes.
If he doesn't want to hit lead up, that's fine. I get that. That makes sense to me. But hitting second is going to get more Bryce at-bats than hitting third. It's like math.
Does Mookie bat second?
Yeah, I believe so. Otani leads off, and then I think Mookie bats second, yes. Yeah, I know. He should. Judge bat second. You know, like Trouty batted second.
That's what I'm saying. Well, the Dodgers are putting their two best hitters at the top of the order.
Mm-hmm. No. Believe me. Well aware. Now, did you guys see the ABS system that was...
What?
The ABS system? Where the automated balls and strikes?
Oh, we talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the challenge thing.
Yeah. And Ike, you'll be proud of me. I liked it.
Oh, I don't.
No, you don't like it?
It doesn't take that much longer. It's like 5 seconds. Okay. And then you get the call right.
Did somebody use it yesterday?
Oh, the whole game, yeah. They're testing
well,
it all.
You say the whole game. I mean, did somebody actually challenge it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been happening all around baseball, okay. The little challenges. They're testing it out. It's testing in the water. But I think, like most Major League Baseball rules, they're figuring this whole thing out.
Resistance initially, and then we learn to love it.
Yeah, and maybe it'll make the umpires better.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here,
well, I'm sure they don't like this.
No, the one guy was hot yesterday. He was like talking to the microphone, like, "All right, challenge." He sounded pissed.
Well, we discussed this for a bit on Friday. My problem with this is if they have the ability to tell you that it's a ball, if the most important thing is to get it right, and they have the ability without any extra time to get every single ball and strike right, then just tell the umpire in his ear every time whether it's a ball or strike and let him call that. What are we doing this on challenges only for if it doesn't take any extra time? It's there. You can just do it. It just seems like it seems unnecessary to me.
Yeah.
That's all.
I don't know.
I kind of like the drama of it, but I hate challenges in general.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm going to miss the nice little arguing with the umpire.
Yes.
It's part of the charm of the sport.
Yeah. What do you think we get a game this year where we are out of our challenges, and there's a blown ball strike call.
No doubt.
We yell about that'll be fun.
No
be
doubt.
Fun to yell about.
If it's going to happen in any city, it's going to happen in this city.
Yeah,
you don't use a challenge that early in the game.
Yeah, what are you using challenge for,
idiot?
You know? Now the way it works, in case you don't know, is you have two wrong ones to get. So now it's not going to happen during the regular season anyway. But at this point, but you have two wrong ones to get. So as long as you're right, you still have those two. So you can challenge as much as you want until you get two wrong.
Now, it's kind of fraudulent because of the challenges that they have for, like, other plays. You know, play at the plate, play at first base, whatever. They can just ask the umpire to review it.
So really?
Yeah, so it's not really a challenge.
Right.
A bit of a sham.
All right. Is that it? Is that?
Yeah, that's all you need today.
Okay.
little taste.
Thank you.
No, they're rained out today down in Clearwater.
Awesome.
We're about to get Paul Skeens versus Christopher Sanchez. I mean, that's must-see TV.
It is.
Yeah.
How much would they have pitched? Three innings?
Not two.
Two innings.
That's going to say yes.
Two innings, yeah.
Baseball is the funniest sport, man. It really is the funniest sport. I can't believe Bryce Harper won't just hit second. Somebody's got to ask him. You said you would hit anywhere two through four. Why are you not hitting second? And he'll say,
again, it was the hypothetical lineup today. You know, maybe they changed it around as we go further here.
Well, he'll go, well, you know, Skip just puts the lineup out, and I do whatever Skip tells me to do. These guys are just going to make me... Don't agitate me before the season.
You know,
wait until you're 9-10. You know? Let me get agitated at that point.
By the way, what's the date that they ditched the Turner leadoff thing and put Schwarber back in there?
Oh, it won't get to June.
You don't think so?
No, we'll get with March, April. Yeah, there's no way in hell it gets to May. It may get through April.
Yeah, see, I think it gets through June. They're right around 500, and then they're like, bang.
Yeah, because we're going to need June Schwarber.
Yeah.
You know how this goes.
I watched on YouTube the first at-bat of the Mets series. I was watching that yesterday, of the Schwarber home run. And you watch that home run, and you're like, how did we not win this series or even this game? We started it off that way.
Well, and then Zach Wheeler pitched seven shutty.
Yeah. And then we never got another hit.
No.
Well, the last.
It's horrible.
Fritz. They better win, Fritz.
Listen, all you're doing is projecting your Sixers anger towards me.
I am not.
Well,
I was
like
angry about the Phils last summer anyway, when they had the best record in baseball. Best record in baseball, best record in baseball, best record in baseball. All right. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk to you about the Sixers situation, 215-592-9494, and talk about what do they do now? What do they do? Like, what is the move that they make moving forward to fix this thing, if possible? That is coming up next. As well, we found out the team, Jack, that is railing against the Tush Push, trying to get it banned.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.